And I'll ask our speaker to come forward then and deliver his address, which is entitled The Kingdom of God, the Finer Instrumentality in the Great Scheme of Human Redemption. Brother Robert.
Please turn to Galatians chapter 3. Verse 8 of this chapter reads, "And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed." In this verse we find seven words which epitomize the purpose of God. In thee shall all nations be blessed. In these few words, God showed Abraham that his purpose would be manifested in the earth, not in heaven, that he would intervene in world affairs, bring about the restoration of his kingdom, and he will set up a divine kingdom on earth, to be ruled by his son and the called, chosen, and faithful ones, which will bring peace, righteousness, and the exercise of goodwill to all men everywhere. The third point may not be apparent from these seven words, but look at verse 16. "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ." And also verse 26. "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." There is no doubt that the Bible message contains this good news of God and announces a good and better time to come when all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Christendom would disagree. Why should the purpose of God involve a ruling government on earth when all that believe that the dead are currently in angelic form in heaven? Is this all that man can expect in the way of salvation? The fact is, Christendom has already spoken and taught many things connected with the Bible out of context. The lecture today is designed to show that the first element of the gospel, the things concerning the kingdom of God, is in itself an instrumentality. It forms the final jigsaw to complete the picture in God's plan. The final stepping stone in the great scheme of human redemption. And that final phase of that great plan to be finalized is the restored kingdom of God, which we're told in Revelation 20 and verse 6 lasts 1,000 years. So let's go to the scriptural evidence. If you turn to our reading, which our president has read from us, in 1 Corinthians 15. Beginning in verse 21. "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up to the kingdom of, to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he hath put all things under his feet. And when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him, that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Here we have seen an epitome of history. Christ came, he left. Afterwards, those that are Christ at his coming, that has not yet happened. Then cometh the end, at the end of the millennia, the 1,000 years, when he shall have delivered up to the kingdom, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority, he will hand it back to his Father. It is only through the Lord Jesus Christ that God will subdue all enemies during the 1,000 years period. Now, the enemies spoken of in these verses are not necessarily personal enemies. In verse 26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So death, in effect, is treated as an enemy. So it follows that the enemy spoken of is better to be understood as all evil. The instrumentality of the kingdom of God then is to subdue all evil at enmity with God. The first class of enemy that will be subdued are the kingdoms of this world as we know them today. And what proof do we have of this? We can only turn to scriptural proof. If you turn to Daniel chapter 2. One verse depicts that. One verse, the first move is condensed into this one verse. And in verse 44, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Here again is a future event and can only happen when Christ returns to the earth. He will subdue all nations unto himself, as we already read in 1 Corinthians 15. A kingdom, the kingdom of God, will be restored, which shall never be destroyed. It will last 1,000 years. And the kingdom shall not be ruled by men of known renown today for their despotic rule or democratic rule. No, it'll be ruled by ministers of God's choosing. And it shall break in pieces and consume all kingdoms of this world as we know it today. And it shall stand forever. One verse in the prophet Daniel depicts all these things. And that's just the first move of the great plan. What a marvelous accomplishment. No man on this earth can achieve such an accomplishment. The evil reign of man will come to an end and be replaced by a divine king. Instead of fallible laws and regulations which seem to honor the unjust more than the just and require no amendment, knowing the power of the nations and leaders of today, we see the greatness of the first move. The first enemy will be subdued. Revelation chapter 11. verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. That is a prophecy of the time to come. That time is upon us. Christ's return to the earth is imminent. The world today is in a state of chaos. In recent events, we have a hung parliament. After, was it 36 years? 1974 was the last one. All this is pointed forward to this time. The time when the kingdoms of the world will be overridden, subdued, and replaced by a divine kingdom. That future time, one government will govern all under the rulership of Christ and the saints. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 9 says, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord and his name one. Psalm 72. What a glorious time is coming. Verse 1. Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness, and thy poor with judgment. The mountain shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure throughout all generations. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish, not the laws and regulations of mankind today, which favor the unjust and the wicked. No, in his day shall the righteous flourish. An abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the river and to the ends of the earth. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. And he shall live, and to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. There shall be an handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountains. The fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. Here is that panorama picture of the future kingdom of God. We don't see this today under the rule of man. But in that time, wow, what a glorious time is yet to come. These are the things that persuaded Abraham of the better times to come. Of Jacob, of Isaac, of David, and the many who now sleep in the dust. All been persuaded of this time. These are the days that we are looking forward to. The world today needs this divine intervention to put right the things that man has corrupted. Any attempt by man to put things right is altogether hopeless. We cannot trust in man to put anything right, but we can trust in God and his Son. We know the world is steeped in so much knowledge. It's phenomenal, the knowledge that they got today. The technological advances, the medical advances, phenomenal. But it does not have the answer or the remedy to sort the mess that we're in. Only God can do that. Ignorance, immorality, promiscuity, and religion have all been affected by man's rule. Yet to those who know the gospel message, there is a different attitude. They know that soon the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. And those who are ignorant, immoral, promiscuous, and follow a religion contrary to the things that God has written in the Bible, in this pre-millennial age, will soon vanish. What a pleasure. What a privilege we have. What an honor to know of this great plan and purpose, which goes unheeded by the majority in this world today. We have this especial honor of knowing what is yet to come on this world. It is those future ministers, the future rulers to reign with Christ, will teach the mortal subjects of that age. And what is that subject? God's way. God's way, and there is none other. Isaiah chapter 2. Verse 2, it shall come to pass in the last days, and those days are upon us, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. We have not seen the like, have we? But in that day, all nations shall flow to the Middle East. And many people shall go and say, come here and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways. And we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light. The light being the knowledge of the Lord. This depicts the future age to come. The fact that they're turning their swords into plowshares, we're talking about agriculture. No longer with the thought of warring against another. It's a time of peace as depicted here. But more important is the law of righteousness, the law of grace. All things belong to God, the Creator, and of his Christ, the one that will rule his kingdom, and to the ministers that will co-assist. This is the future that we are looking forward to. The time that Abraham was persuaded of, the time that we are persuaded of. We don't want any part in the politics of this world. We want to be part of the politics of the new world order. Scripture shows there's going to be a annual pilgrimage. Can you imagine people of this world say, when they're ordered to go somewhere? You know the attitude that we get today. But there will be no question about attitudes in that day. There will be an annual pilgrimage to the Middle East, to Mount Zion, from all areas of the world. Each nation taking their turn. As Zechariah 14 and verse 16 says, it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth into Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. That is a particular judgment at that time. A judgment upon those who show this stiff neck, this rebellious attitude. They will be dealt with swiftly. You don't see that today. Psalm 102. Verse 13. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favour her. Yea, the set time is come. We don't know the day or the hour or the month or the year that Christ will return to the earth. But we can anticipate it. Because we know from the scriptures, God has a set time. That set time is almost upon us. For thy servants take pleasure in her stones. What stones? Israel, Jerusalem, and favour the dust thereof. So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory, when the Lord shall build up Zion. He shall appear in his glory. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. For he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem, when the people are gathered together and the kingdoms to serve the Lord. What people are being created? Well, we know what creation's about. Man was created from the dust. But here is a preparation time to the ones that God is calling out from the world. A preparation time to be those ministers that he wants to associate with Christ. Here is this time of probation. Here is this time of creation. God is calling out people from the world. Not to be associated, be separate from the world. He's training them up through the gospel message, so that when that set time has come, they will be the chosen ones, the faithful ones of all ages, to share in that time to come. When the earth becomes filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea, the part of the Lord's Prayer which says, "Thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven." And then that time will be realized. So the next and final enemy to be subdued, as we read in 1 Corinthians 15, is death. Throughout the 1,000 years period, death will still occur. After all, there will be mortal subjects as well as immortal ones. The immortal will be reigning over those mortal subjects. So those mortal subjects will die. Death comes to those people in that age. But Isaiah, we may as well turn to it, just to show it's just not something I'm saying. It's actually said in Scripture. Isaiah 65. It may happen in verse 20. We start at verse 17. For behold, I create new heavens and new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and a people a joy. Can't say that of Jerusalem today, totally divided. But in that time, Jerusalem will be a place of rejoicing and a people of joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old. 100 years old. Okay, we see the occasional person lived perhaps, I think the last one was 120, 130 before they died. That's amazing. But look how frail that person was. But to describe it in the way a child shall die 100 years old. You're talking about somebody with all his faculties. But the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. So it may be. They might live to 100 years old, perhaps even longer. But what a time, what a time. But it is another event yet to take place. Death will be vanquished. Look at Revelation 20. Start at verse 5. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, for they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about on the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now at the end of the 1,000 years reign of Christ, a final rebellion will take place. The mortal population will rebel. Some will remain faithful, but the majority will oppose Christ's rule. I find this difficult to understand, how so many immortal beings being in 1,000 years, how they can hope that their rebellion will take place or win. But it seems the scripture says that it will happen. There will be a final rebellion. And then those not found in the book of life will be cast into a lake of fire. Now this lake of fire is not what Christendom would depict as a fiery lake. It's merely a symbol, as the book of Revelation is. It's a book of symbols. So this symbol, the lake of fire, represents something. The whole book, as they say, from the beginning to end, is symbolic. All prophetic facts are identified and illustrated in symbol. So the lake of fire is a symbol which identifies death. Revelation 20 and verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Revelation 21 and verse 8. The fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. As we can see, there are those that will suffer the second death. Now you may be wondering, what was the first death? We all know that man dies once. You live, you die. That's what you can expect. But should a man be amenable to judgment, God will raise that man again for that very purpose. If he is not accounted worthy to enter the kingdom of God, according to that judgment time, condemnation is inevitable. And for that, he will die a second time. Anyone not found written in the book of life can expect the same end. A second death. It'll probably be a bad one the first time round. Or he might just fall asleep and die. But to have to endure a second death is torture in itself, even to think about it. But God is just and by no means clears the guilty. In symbolic interpretation, the ones he enumerates here will be cast into the lake of fire. And when all have been destroyed, death will have no longer have that dominion. And finally, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death itself, leaving only a population of immortal beings redeemed by God. Let's go to Psalm 37 and look at the contrast between the righteous and the wicked. Verse 9. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while. That little while seems to be a long, long time, doesn't it? Many of us have accepted the truth, been baptized into Christ for many, many years. And yet it says, for yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Verse 20. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away. Verse verse 22, for such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. Picture a blast furnace. The heat within it is so hot, white hot heat. Anything that even walks, approaches it, could be the end of them. Daniel chapter 3 is that picture. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 19. This is talking about Daniel's three friends who again worshipped God. And Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, because they would not serve his gods, was advised to burn them to death. Verse 14, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said to them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods and worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? That God is the creator of the heaven and the earth. And like I said, how can a mortal population of the millennia rebel against immortal beings? What hope have they got? None. And this is the kind of snide remark that we face every day of our life today. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king of Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 17 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So even approaching it was a danger to his own soldiers. These three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Well, it was an angel. It was a divine being. They were under the protection of God. Why because these three men showed their zeal for God only. And they were saved. The judgments, you could say, are the fiery burning furnace, that the wicked will not be redeemed or saved. Only those who know the truth, only worship God in sincerity, mercy and truth, and in grace. It is only those that he is interested in. All the wicked shall consume away as smoke. Go back to our introductory reading in 1 Corinthians 15. We've already touched upon the subject, but the Apostle Paul enumerates three epochs of resurrection in just two verses. Every man in his own order. Christ, the first fruits. We've seen, well, we know of Christ's first appearance, and they put him to death. Afterward, they that are Christ's at his coming. Who are they at Christ's coming? But those who have come out from this world to be separated, to be associated with Christ in the expectation of his return to set up the kingdom of God. They are those that are Christ that is coming, the second coming. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall put all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. That is the subduing of all the nations in the millennial age, the age of peace, the age of peace. The word cometh in verse 24 is in italics. It's not in the original text of Scripture. At the beginning of the millennium, the immortalized beings are those who have been raised from the dead. These also include people who are alive at Christ's coming and who have been accounted worthy to receive a place in the kingdom of God. They will reign as kings and priests. This is that special honor awaiting us. Why then are we told to remain separate? That will ensure our place in the kingdom. Study to show thyself approved unto God. That means reading the scriptures daily, absorbing everything that's written. That's what's so important about it. And to be accounted worthy of that place. That has something to say. That's a testimony to every one of us. To endure unto the end. And at the end of the millennium, when death has been vanquished, the final resurrection will take place of those who died during the 1,000 years. They likewise will be judged. Eternal life will be given to the faithful, whilst the unfaithful will be consigned to the second death. And before perfection of God's purpose can finally be realized, another change takes place. And this is indicated in verse 25. He must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. That includes death. That includes all evil. Everything. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. From this last verse, we learn that the Lord Jesus Christ will abdicate his position as supreme ruler of God's kingdom at the end of the millennium. Who is going to be Christ's successor? Scripture says, the head of every man is Christ, and the head of Christ is God. So it follows that when Christ has completed his Father's work upon the earth, the perfected world will be delivered unto God by the Lord Jesus Christ, that he, God, will be all in all. Total perfection. The gospel message of the Bible is extended to you to read, learn, and understand it. Now is the opportunity to become acquainted with it. Remember, the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it.